Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we are humbled, dear Heavenly Father, by thy great love for us, for thy care, and for the multitude of thy blessings that are showered down upon us. And we, Lord, just would give thee our heartfelt thanks and worship before thee in spirit and in truth. And Lord, now as we have thy word before us, and as we would read from its pages and meditate upon the commandments and the precepts and that which is written in thy word, Lord, that we might lay it to heart, Lord, that it might make a difference in our lives, that it always would be meaningful to us in each and every way. Lord, we just look to thee in all things. May thy spirit be prevalent, Lord, in our midst, for we ask this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For this morning's reading, let's turn to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5.
Браття наші, да се читаме з Божою помощью із посланця апостола Павла Галатима, 5 глава. Галатима, 5 глава.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. There's a beautiful hymn that says that we ought to count our blessings, name them one by one, and see what God hath done. To take note of the blessings that God has given unto us, that we would acknowledge them, that we would readily confess that God has blessed us in so many ways. And truly, we can say that this morning, that God has blessed us in a very abundant measure, and we ought to acknowledge that. The blessings of God have been showered down upon us. We have a measure of health where we can come together and come to church and hear His word. We have a full church this morning for which we can count as a blessing from the Lord. And in so many ways, we can just enumerate the blessings and the blessings that come our way from God. And it's our responsibility, our part, to look for those blessings, acknowledge those blessings, and thank God for those blessings. A verse in that song says, "So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all." God is over all. Whatever those conflicts or whatever those things of life that we have to endure, we'll endure it because the blessings of God come down. And they come down in a strong measure, and they're given to us. But it's ours to look for them, to acknowledge them, thank God for them, and dwell on them in our hearts and in our minds. So I just want to begin with that little encouragement that we have many blessings, and we ought to count them and acknowledge that they all have come from God. The Apostle Paul here wrote in to the Galatians, who had a struggle in that they were wanting to revert back to the Jewish law. They had this great beginning. They understood grace. They understood justification and righteousness by faith, and then they reverted back to the Judaic law. They thought that somehow that would make them good and right before God again, justified by the law. And so the Apostle Paul here is writing to them and reminding them of this truth, that our justification and our righteousness, it comes by faith in Jesus Christ. And so in the very beginning of this chapter, the Apostle Paul, written here and inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." Stay strong in this. Stay strong in this. This is a blessing from God. Stay strong. Don't be moved from the liberty that Christ has made us free in. We have a liberty. We have a freedom. We have a freedom from the law. We have a freedom from that which is the lust of the flesh and the works of the flesh. We have a freedom from all of that. Christ has given that to us. He has imputed unto us His Holy Spirit, has given unto us the power of that Spirit. And we rejoice in that. And so He's saying, don't be moved from that. Stand fast in this liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. It came through Christ and what He has done. He was the fulfillment of the law. He came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill this law. And so there was this exhortation here in this commandment from the Apostle Paul to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And that's something that we need to take with us in this day as well, that we ought to stand fast. Stand fast in this liberty that Christ has made us free. When we came to the cross and when we knelt there and when we had a repentant heart before Him and when we crucified the flesh and its affections and live in newness of life and His Spirit and He Himself operates in us, we have become free. Free from condemnation. Free from the burden of guilt. Free from being a servant to the master of the devil. We have been made free from all of that. And if we were going to, this was more relating to them and not so much to us, to the Jews, that if we were going to say that we are circumcised and hold our value, our justification, or our righteousness in this circumcision, the Apostle Paul is saying here very clearly, Christ shall profit you nothing. Do we ever want to be in a position where Christ would profit us nothing? Christ is our all in all. We glory in Him. We are so thankful for all that He has done for us. But if they were going to be justified by circumcision, Christ would profit them nothing. I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. So in other places of Scripture, it's saying, though you keep all the law, but you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. And so he's saying this here in so many words, that you're a debtor to do the whole law. If you're going to be justified by circumcision, then again he's saying Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. If we're justified by the law, we're fallen from grace. What a horrible place to be in, to be fallen from grace, to have our faith void, and the promise of God to be made of no effect. That's what it means to be fallen from grace. We no longer have that blessing that come from our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To be fallen from grace is a horrible place to be in. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Righteousness by faith. And we'll see this over and over throughout the Scriptures in Romans chapter 2 through chapter 5. It speaks of this justification by faith and not by the law. In this very book as well, the Apostle Paul writes, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. There is no justification, the Bible clearly says, by the works of the law. So we go to Romans, and we read some of the verses that here that speak of our justification, that our justification is not by the law, but that our justification and our righteousness is by faith. So we, through the Spirit, wait for the righteousness which is of faith. And so we see here that where it's written in Romans, Romans chapter 3, it says, but now the righteousness of God, which is without the law, is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. The justification of the law by the law went away. And now we have the righteousness of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it speaks of Abraham. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He wasn't faithless, but he believed. And because of his belief, it was counted unto him for righteousness. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he hath promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Righteousness was given to Abraham because he believed. He didn't count the deadness of the womb of Sarah. Though he was old himself, he knew that what God has promised, he will do. And he staggered not at that through unbelief. But he had faith in the Lord that whatever God said, that would happen. And because he believed, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Righteousness was ascribed to Abraham because of his strong faith that he had in what the Lord could do through him. So that's righteousness. And justification goes along with that as well. That the Bible says that we are justified by faith. And then when we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, Romans 2 through 5 speak of that, of being justified by our faith. And here is a conclusion. It says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without deeds of the law. We are justified by our faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And so again, here it's saying, in Jesus Christ, that law of circumcision now is fulfilled. There's no more righteousness or justification in that ceremonial law, but it's but by faith which worketh by love. Love is the engine of faith. Love is what propels our faith to go forward. And so we'll read that later here in the chapter, but the next set of verses speaks of of this difficulty that they were experiencing in their circles, that there were those that were saying, no, we need to go back to the law. If we want to be justified and made righteous before God, we need to revert back to Moses' law. And so he's saying, you ran well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. This little doctrine that was being introduced among them about going back to the Mosaic law, it was leavening the whole lump. And so in the beginning of this book, he makes it very clear to those in Galatia that though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If anything besides Jesus Christ and justification and righteousness through faith in him is being preached, let him be accursed. And so he's reminding them, those that trouble you, they're going to bear their own burden, whosoever he be. And I would that they were even cut off from that trouble you. There was this difficulty with them of reverting back to the Mosaic law. And then he says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We have been given this freedom, this liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. It's liberty from the ceremonial law of Moses, yes, but it's also liberty from the works of the flesh, that we no longer have to do that which Satan would have us to do. And this is probably where it's more relevant with us, that we are free from the works of the flesh, that Christ has given unto us his spirit to make us to be strong against that which Satan would tempt us with and bring our way. And we deal with this moment by moment in our lives. And so he's saying, we, brethren, we've been called unto liberty. We're free now from, yes, the ceremonial law, but yes, we're also free from the works of the flesh. We're free from that. We've been called into this liberty, and we have this freedom. Now we can be exercised by the Holy Spirit, walk in him, and do what he would have us to do. We are now free, and we have this liberty in Christ. But don't use this liberty for the occasion of the flesh, but this is what we do with our liberty. Christ has given unto us this Christian liberty that we, by love, would serve one another. This is the liberty that we have been called into. This is the freedom that we have in Christ, that we, by love, would serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All the Mosaic law, all that the Old Testament had taught and was the schoolmaster of, brought us to this one precept, to this one principle, to this one commandment, to this one truth, that we should love our neighbor as ourself. By love that we would serve one another. Again, love is the engine that propels faith. John, in his epistle, brings it out very clearly. Brethren, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. When we, by this justification and this liberty and this righteousness that we have in Jesus Christ, and we exercise his love within us, we are born of God, and we can say, we know God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. That's who God is. He's the definition of love. And so we are called, brethren, to love one another, for love is of God. God is love. Love is of God. And he's calling us to this love. And so he's saying, use this liberty. Use this liberty. We have this liberty. We have this freedom to be free from our former self, to be free from that hatred, the strife, and the wrath that once was ruled our hearts, and we have this freedom now in Christ to love, to do what he would have us to do, to be a blessing to others. This love suffers long, beareth all things, believes all things, is kind, envieth not. This love seeks to be a blessing to others, that my interests, my desires would be put away, put on the side, and that I would do something that would be a benefit to others. This is the law. This is the love that Christ is calling us to, and that we can have this freedom in and this joy in. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. And in that Sermon on the Mount where he said that he came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but he came to fulfill, he said that ye have heard that it been said of those of old times that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. But I tell you, and he says, love your enemies. How much freedom that gives us, how much joy that gives us when we're not harboring any hate or malice toward anyone, but our heart is free. We have this liberty. We have love toward all, toward those that would be our neighbors and toward our enemies as well. Jesus Christ told those there on that mount, you've heard it. You've heard it. Love your neighbors, but hate your enemies. But he says, in the fulfillment of his law, love your enemies too. Love your enemies too. God is love. Love is of God. We ought to love one another, and even that of our enemies. And then in verse number 16, he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Do this. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in this way that Christ has left for us. His example, and then as he ascended back to the Father, he sent his Holy Spirit that he would abide in us. And that he would work in us. And that as we would walk in the Spirit, we would do all that Jesus Christ had left for us to do. And we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we walk in the Spirit, we will serve one another. We will love our neighbor as ourselves. We will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit and the flesh are contrary to each other, the Bible here says. And then Jesus also says that the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Spirit indeed is willing to do what God would have us to do, to be directed by His Spirit with a capital S, that He would direct us in His ways. And when we walk in that Spirit, He will direct us into this way of love that He is calling us to. And we will not fulfill again the lust of the flesh and the Spirit being contrary one toward another. Because we are led by the Spirit and not under the law. The law said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But the Spirit speaks that of even greater. And then he enumerates works of the flesh, and there's quite a few here that are listed. But he concludes this list by saying, and such like. And perhaps there's not a struggle here for us on many of these things here that are listed. But it should be of no part of our lives, any of these things. And he's telling them, I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again, and I'm even writing it down, that those that do such things, all these things that are listed here, and such like these things, they have no part in the kingdom of God. There's no part in the kingdom of God for such individuals that live in this state. Then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I'd like to think that most all of us here have these nine fruit of the Spirit memorized, because it's a display. It's a display of what it's like to walk in the Spirit. It's a display of standing fast in liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. It's a display of loving one another. It's a display of saying that God is love, and everyone that walks and knows with God has His love coming forth from us. And again, love is the engine of faith. It's love that propels faith forward to do that which would be pleasing in His sight in walking in the Spirit. And so as these fruit of the Spirit are listed here, love is the first one. And then there's joy and there's peace. That when we have love for all and even our enemies, that there's joy and peace in our hearts. There's no animosity. There's joy and peace in our hearts. We're experiencing these things and we suffer long. Others may rub us the wrong way. Others may have a difficult personality to dwell with, but we suffer long. And we have joy and peace in that. There can be no other way that we have joy and peace in our lives and that be displayed other than that we have love. Because God is love. Against such there is no law. When we do these, when this fruit of the Spirit, when we're walking in the Spirit and standing fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and these fruit of the Spirit are being exhibited, there's no law that can take us to this place. None of the Mosaic law could take us there. Circumcision couldn't take them there. Not touching a dead body couldn't take us there. Not abiding by an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth can't take us there. To have this peace and this joy in our hearts. And not in other Mosaic law things of not eating with non-Jews. God hath done great things for us. His blessings toward us are innumerable. We cannot number them all. We have a liberty that's in Christ. And here we're being exhorted this morning. Stand fast in that liberty. Stay in that liberty. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. I often want to know, what's the summation of it all? I don't want the whole book. What's the summation? What's the summary of it all? And here we can see that it's standing fast in the Lord. Standing fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. It's justification and righteousness that comes by faith. That's the summation of it all. It's loving our neighbor as ourself, and by love serving one another. This is the summation of it all. And then walking in the Spirit. And when we do these things, the blessings of God accrue to us. We lead a rich and a full life. He says here later on then that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. When we are Christ, we're walking in the Spirit, we've crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. They are dead. In other words, we have put them off and we've allowed them to rot and die. We've allowed them to just simply rot and die. And we walk then in newness of life. And so it's a putting off, but it's also then a putting on. A putting on of Christ. Because Christ spoke there of that parable where there was this person that had an evil spirit cast out of them, and then that evil spirit went about and couldn't find a dwelling and said, oh, let's go back to that place. And they found it garnished and empty. Empty, meaning nothing else filled its place, and brought with him seven spirits more evil than himself. So it's not only a putting off of the works of the flesh, but it's filling ourselves with the Spirit of God, filling ourselves with Christ. So it's a putting off of the flesh, and it's a putting on of, the Bible says, put on Christ. Put on Christ. Put on the new man. Put on the whole armor of God. These are the things that we should put on that should fill us. In many ways, it's taught that when you take away something, you have to fill something in its place. When you quit smoking, you have to fill in something in its place. And so as we're putting off the flesh and its affections, we're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're putting on the new man. We're putting on the whole armor of God. And then in Colossians it says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, bowels of mercies. Mercy that should just emanate from our hearts because we're walking in the Spirit, because that's who Jesus Christ was. That's who God is. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. This is long-suffering. This is what what's spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love. Love suffereth long, and the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering, forbearing one with another, and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Jesus Christ there in that parable of the man that begged for forgiveness from his master, but then wouldn't forgive a small amount from a fellow servant, and Christ ends that parable by saying that Christ is, God's not going to forgive you either if you from your hearts don't forgive one another. This is walking in the Spirit. This is standing fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. So, putting on Jesus Christ, putting on the new man, putting on the whole armor of God, putting on bowels of mercies and all these other things, and then it concludes here in Colossians chapter 3, where it says, and above all these things, put on charity. Put on charity. Walk in love. This is what the Bible here is calling us to this morning. Walk in love. Be sacrificial. Do something for others to their benefit. Be as Christ was. He came here upon this earth and died upon a cruel cross in sacrificial love for our benefit. What did Christ receive from that? Walk in love. Above all these things, put on charity. Put on Jesus Christ. Walk in His way. Let this word richly abide in each and every one of us. May He go forth and empower us by His Holy Spirit. May God bless His word upon our hearts.
Paul tells or writes in Romans, he says, I am a debtor. In this chapter, he talks about, well, we already talks about freedom, being free, liberty. But to the Romans, he writes, I am a debtor. I'm in debt. I owe. He says, I owe. I'm a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians. That was the dividing line between the educated, well-to-do group versus those who are uneducated, perhaps live in a barbaric type of manner. Man draws a dividing line between groups of people. God doesn't. Because He says, I'm a debtor to the Greek. I'm a debtor to the barbarian. I'm a debtor to the wise. I'm a debtor to the unwise. I owe. What do I owe? What does he owe? Well, he writes in later to the Romans, he says, owe no man anything but to love. So he owes love to the Greek, the barbarian, the wise, the unwise. He owes love. Why? He's a child of God. He owes no man anything but to love him. And so he says, and so much then is it in me. I am ready to what? To preach the gospel. That's what we, brothers and sisters, owe mankind. All man. We owe to live Jesus Christ. We owe to love as Jesus loved. That means we are ready. We are not, as he says here, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Dear ones, in this chapter he talks about liberties. Liberty in Christ in no way gives us, as he speaks here in verse 13, an occasion to live to the flesh. As he writes in Romans chapter 6, he talks about that is not a license to sin. Brothers and sisters, my dear friends, sin separates man from God. We read, you become a debtor to the whole law. You can't break a law, one, and be victorious over all the other, as Paul realized. Check, 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 check. He kept the law until he realized that he covets. And then he realized, who he is. No man ever was able to keep the law in letter and spirit, but for Jesus Christ himself. And he gives us then that power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But it is offensive. It's offensive. It requires a death. It requires, as I love how the brother mentioned, love never puts self first. Never. It never thinks, what can I do for myself? It thinks, what can I do for someone else? Its delight is to do. That's why Paul says in Corinthians, and I know I've mentioned it many times, a chapter that has to take our breath away. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, he says, though I have the gift of prophecy, though I understand mysteries and all these things, he says, if I don't have charity, I'm nothing. Love, I can bestow all my goods to feed the poor. This is that we would look at as the Greek, cultured, educated, wealthy perhaps. Give. He did a nice deed. Means, what does Paul say about it? He said, if it's not with a heart that owes that man because he loves Christ, he says, it avails him nothing. And so on. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, do we see who Christ is? Christ is the power of this chapter, as we have read. It's all in him. We can't proclaim Christ and not walk in the Spirit. What do our lives look like? Paul wasn't concerned with his life. The circumstances of his life, he was not concerned about. Brothers and sisters, I think too often, I know I find myself considering the circumstances of my life. Do I like where I'm at? The circumstances that brought me, and I'm always thinking about the circumstance. Paul never considered the circumstances. He considered his purpose. Owe no man anything but to love. He loved Jesus with all his mind, heart, and soul. That was the commandment. And so he owed to love mankind, to preach the gospel, the message of salvation. This is what life is all about. Love, the power that never goes away. It's eternal. It goes past this life. As he says, hope will fade away. What's there to hope for when we obtain? Once we obtain? Faith, what's there to believe once you see? Love, it just keeps going. And it requires a death. It's the cross, dear ones, the man wants to shun. The Jew, it says that Esau, let's think about what Esau said, or Esau did. He sold his birthright, a birthright. He sold it for a bowl of pottage. Dear ones, these Jews here in Galatia were ready to sell their birthright for a bowl of Jewish pottage. It's gone. There's nothing there. Are we ready to sell our birthright in Christ? He adopts us as his sons and daughters, brethren, into his family. Are we ready to sell it for a bowl of pottage? And what is that pottage? Me. What can I do for me? What feels good? A lavish lifestyle. What, you know, a lustful lifestyle. Whatever it is. It's for me. When it's for me, I've sold my birthright. Love, dear ones. Jesus says, love me with all your mind, heart, and soul. That is the commandment. With that, dear ones, we will be able to go through life in all its circumstances, regardless of what they are. Whether it's scourging, whether it's whippings, left bloody and dead by stoning. Those are circumstances when we have a purpose. Our purpose needs to be our focus. May God bless this morning, its service, its message unto each and every one of us. Amen.